The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Rickies. Happy Open Line Thursday. You're welcome to Call the Junks on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067. You can call throughout the show. You can call like right now if you want. You can call from now until 9:54:20 when we go off the air. We are the Junks, and we're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, go to cropmetcalf.com. Do that today. You got a three-man Junks show on a Thursday. JP on vacation. I am Cakes at Money Metal Cakes, where you find me on the Twitter. Jason Bishop is with us.
So there's probably 15 blocks that are cordoned off by DC police right down the street.
Yeah.
And I asked the cop, I said, are you allowed to tell me what's going on? He goes, we have a situation.
Oh, there's a situation. Yeah. Eric Bickle's also here.
I don't know. Where is all this going on?
Oh, right down there and then 10 blocks that way.
Glad you brought it up, because after the last 2 days of commuting down here, I think I need a new path here, because it's just setting me up on life tilt at 5:15 in the morning.
Oh yeah.
Like yesterday I can kind of understand it. Like the route that I take the 295 off ramp to get to the Navy Yard exit, and then I come down M Street past Navy Yard. The last 2 days it's been closed. Yesterday I can understand. The weather was bad, there's an accident, whatever. Today, same thing. Overnight accident, it's closed. I have to hop, stay on like whatever 295 or 495 until I get to the Suitland Parkway exit. But by that point, it's a big, gigantic bottleneck choke point because everybody's bailing out because a major artery has been shut down.
Correct.
So then I finally get through. I go over that fancy-ass new bridge that they built.
Yep.
And I pass Nats Park. I'm like, okay, now it's just a easy commute in, or so I think.
Right.
Then I bang a right on M Street, and there, like you said, there's just blocks completely blocked off. All the emergency vehicles that you've ever thought
there's probably
are lined up down
probably
the street.
A total of 10 to 12 blocks that are.
So luckily,
you can't drive down.
I could take the left on Half Street past the cop car because it wasn't letting you go any further down M Street.
Right.
So it's not this, is it? Because it says on on the news station, it says I-695 11th Street Bridge inbound closed. No access for both sides of I-95
due to a crash. Yeah, that's where I had to bail out.
But that's not what Jason's.
That's completely totally separate different from whatever's happening on M Street.
Does DC police have anything on their Twitter? Or?
Nope, there's nothing out there.
Drab's
there's
actively nothing. Scanning.
I didn't see anything. I have barely any exposure. I get off whatever I'm getting off. I get right into the building.
Yeah, I mean, for a while I was doing the cut through the city bit, but I tired of that too. And there's no good way for me to get from where I live to where I'm sitting right now.
The only thing I say about coming to the city, Cakes, is it's just perfectly consistent, same amount of time every day.
Maybe
if there's a issue. You just go one block over and go around it.
I guess.
You can't do it on 295.
Maybe I'll get back to that. Because
what are you looking for? Some sort of pleasant drive? None of it's pleasant. It's 5:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Not pleasant. How about pleasanter?
It's just...
How about a little bit more?
It's a miserable drive into work. When you're just exhausted.
Correct.
It's just a miserable drive no matter how you do it, in my opinion.
But for me, it starts off so smoothly because I hop on the ICC. It's wide open. There's no traffic. I mean, it's just... It couldn't be any easier.
Yeah.
Then the tension starts mounting as I get on 95, then on to 495. And the stakes always get raised on the B-Dub Parkway. Where the B-Dub Parkway splits to 50 and then 295,
mm-hmm.
then it's a little bit dicey.
It gets a little dicey.
Yeah.
I did that for years. Best move I ever did was just sucking it up and going through the city. It takes a little longer, but it's butt consistent.
So if anybody that's listening has a better commute path for me from Olney, Maryland to 1015 Half Street, I'm open for any and all suggestions because it's driving me crazy over the last 2 days.
What about that parkway? Like, what do they call that? The Cabbage John, near the Cabbage John,
like the
area.
Clara Barton Parkway. Maybe that's my, that'll be my new
I
route.
Think the Clara Barton might be an alternative for you.
And I don't want to take the G-Dub Parkway.
Yeah.
Take that out of any sort of route.
Well, because that gets screwed up too.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that.
And people are going 100 on that.
Maybe Clara Barton is my salvation.
I think it's something to consider. Had you considered it before?
Not really, but now it's under consideration.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a police officer can call us off air and off the record.
Oh, yeah.
Are you desperate to know?
Details.
Well, yeah. I mean, no one at the hotel knew.
Where exactly are the cops? By the hotel?
Going up towards
Nats Stadium?
Yeah, going up towards Nats Park, a block to the right, and then, I don't know, 5-6 blocks down to the left, and then blocks going this way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, there's probably 10 to 12 blocks that are cordoned off.
Yeah.
And... some of them are taped off. There had to have been a shooting.
I don't know.
Had to have been.
Now, this could also... they're also.
I mean, why would the cops said there's a situation?
I'm going to text some friends in the news industry. I'll find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
There also could be residue from me spending an hour and a half in traffic last night getting to the Odyssey Holiday Party at MGM National Harbor.
How was that?
But I knew that was going to be the case.
We talked about it yesterday.
If I'm prepared to sit in traffic... and know it's going to be a grind and a slog.
Yeah,
that's okay. It's when it's just out of nowhere, you know, on a good weather day.
Right. So you were prepared for it yesterday.
I was prepared
driving.
For
it. So you left your house, I'm guessing, 4:30.
Left my house at around a little early, like around 4, because I didn't want to get there right at 6 when the event started.
So you got there 5:30-ish.
5:30, 5:45.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of soul sucking, but again, I knew what it was going to be going in.
Yeah.
But the party was nice. I mean, it was in the Bellagio room upstairs, like off of the Grand Ballroom.
Yep, good food.
Big open room. A lot of Christmas tunes, which was different from last year, which was welcomed.
Uh-huh.
That was a nice touch.
Yeah. Were you the only Junkies representative?
I was the only show rep.
Because Drabby was making me feel guilty yesterday for not going because I'm going. He said I was sounding hypocritical because I'm going down to the wharf tonight for another party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to do back. It would have taken me longer than an hour and a half to get there.
Right.
But Drabby said he could have been convinced to go, but I'm guessing he didn't go.
I did not see Drab t-shirt there.
Yeah, good decision.
But it was a good time.
It was a good life decision.
I hung out with some salespeople that I don't see that often because we don't take that many swings through the sales cubicles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I ate with Heavy Metal Chris and his wife. Heavy Metal Chris, very nice guy. Producer, kind of jack of all trades.
Yeah, that's the big dude, right?
Big dude, yeah. Big dude, long hair.
Right.
Saw Funny Danny, saw Grant Paulson, saw The Rooster, hung out with him for a bit. Saw B. Mitch.
Okay.
It was a good time.
What kind of food did you have?
It was, I'm glad that there was a guy there explaining exactly what the first item was, because I thought it was...
the buffet style?
I'm a dollar. Yeah, it's buffet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, it's a big party.
Yeah.
I thought it was a big tray of mashed potatoes.
Uh-huh.
He's like, no, that's not mashed potatoes, stupid. That's polenta.
Oh, okay.
So it was like polenta with a bunch of vegetable and then protein toppings, like chicken breast, salmon. Mm-hmm. You had like a broccolini, like hybrid.
I like that.
You had some fancy heirloom carrots. Uh-huh. You had some nice fancy roasted mushrooms. It was good.
Good.
Food was good. Open bar. Hung out for about an hour and a half, and then out of there.
So you were 7:30. So you got home probably 8:20-ish.
Yeah. And thankfully, the traffic driving home was pretty clear.
Yeah.
Like, it was still a little bit rainy and overcast, but it wasn't freaking bumper to bumper like it was on the way there.
Well, I'm glad you went, Cakes. I'm glad you represented.
I
mean, normally, I'll be honest with you, I go to 97% of them. Mm-hmm. I just didn't go this one for a reason.
You were tired. You were just very tired.
I was tired, and I just kind of never really planned on going. I had the date saved.
All right.
Hung out with Sam Weiner. He was
my mom living at my house. I got a lot going on.
Yeah, you got stuff.
Sam, the sales guy, he was just looking at the buffet. Wasn't actually eating. I mean, that guy's just wasting away.
Yeah. But I hung out with a couple sales guys yesterday, and I'll say this: it went great. But we had a little meeting, and I won't say with who yet until they everything's signed and sealed and delivered.
Mm-hmm.
But JP and I are going to be doing endorsements for this company, and it's and I had no idea.
What kind of industry is the company?
It's in the PT world.
Okay.
Okay, right? That kind of thing.
All right.
And it's great. But I showed up thinking we were just going to a regular client meeting, do a little handshake. And all of a sudden, I have a hard time parking. Mm-hmm. I'm there a little bit late, okay? Because there's like 19 buildings around, and I had to go to building 7. And I was in a hotel. All of a sudden, I'm in a hotel. I'm not in the correct building. I finally get there. I open it. The lady doesn't even know what I'm talking about. I'm here with Odyssey
because
it's a big company.
Mm-hmm.
She takes me back into the bowels of the huge office. And like, I thought I was like, it was like an office like this size. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like a big space, whole floor. And
lots of people there.
I mean, you open up the doors, there's 17 people in there. And I'm like interrupting guy's giving a little presentation.
Like a sales pitch?
Just like the doctor or something.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Having trouble parking.
Yeah.
And then and everything's great. Everyone's nice. Mm-hmm. I'm learning some stuff. And then I don't know how you guys would have reacted. I reacted probably not in a great way.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And they said, they had this camera, we're going to do an assessment of you guys.
Oh, like right on the spot assessment?
I didn't come here to do any test. Okay. What are you talking about? And they wanted me to, all of a sudden, JP's up there and you're bouncing on one leg, you're balancing yourself.
I would have failed this test.
In front of everybody?
Yes!
You had no idea that was going
to
happen.
No! I went to RJ and I was like, okay, you didn't come here to take a test? Uh-huh. You come here to fall down in front of everybody?
He didn't brief you on that.
He didn't know.
He
didn't know either
because
afterwards
too.
We had a conversation.
Okay.
And they could hear me muttering under my breath, I didn't come here for any tests.
Right,
right.
Like, especially, listen, I don't mind. I take my pants off in front of doctors all the time. I mean, they go where the sun don't shine. That's fine. But nobody
but at least
wants
you're prepared
be,
for that.
Yeah. But also, nobody wants to take an assessment in front of like 20 strangers.
I hear you.
Where you're bouncing on one leg and, you know.
Yeah.
But I ended up doing it. Ended up being fine.
How did you grade out?
grade out. I
flexibility,
guess,
balance, they do
all that.
That
stuff. Yeah. So JP and I both basically had the same exact score.
Okay.
It was like low 70s.
Right.
Relative to our age group.
Okay.
It does. We both basically flunked miserably the balance stuff.
Okay.
Which
balance is that's my kryptonite too.
My wife was kind of mocking me. I had her like do the bit. They just do a simple bit. One of them where you stand on one leg, close your eyes, have your hands on your hips, and you got to stand for 30 seconds.
Right.
Good luck. Good luck with that one.
Balancing on one leg?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd fall right over on my face plant.
Yeah.
And you had no idea this was happening.
No, I just thought I was going in there to shake some hands and be silly.
Right.
Yeah.
Be schmoozy and be money.
Right.
Which I was.
Well, now it's going to turn into money.
Yeah, and it worked out great, and they're thrilled. But there was a moment there where I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was seething.
Yeah, I bet you
seething.
Were. Did you ever ponder just walking out and saying,
no,
I'm done?
No, but I said to RJ, I said, I'm not doing any tests. I didn't come here to do any tests. Yeah. I was in my sweats and like, my.
Did you have a hat on?
Yes, I was just like this, basically.
So you went straight from work?
Yes.
Yeah. That's funny.
I didn't know I was going to a conference.
Yeah.
You didn't know you were going to be the spotlight.
Yeah. And, then I got a pole and I'm doing squats. There was all kinds of stuff.
Man,
we
they're putting you through the paces.
Now, they wanted us to experience
right.
the thing, and it's easy, but when you don't know what you're getting into, yeah. there's a little anxiety there.
Gotcha.
But it worked out. They were thrilled. They're going to do a big thing.
They're going to spend money.
Very good. It'll be great.
Excellent.
But I saw enough salespeople yesterday.
Yeah, you did your part.
That I was good.
Hey, Drabby, do you have an update? Anybody call us?
Yeah, a couple of people call. You know, the psychos that listen to DC, you know, the police blotter.
Right. Uh-huh. They listen like the scanners, right.
Yeah. There's some sort of police barricade, an armed guy inside.
Oh, jeez.
One of them said something about waiting on a warrant. I don't.
Oh, okay.
Do we know what building?
They both said armed, one of the apartment buildings.
Okay.
It's right there. I was going to say, that's in a tough part where you were describing.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough over there. So
it's right next to the Pink Taco, all that area.
Ah, right.
Oh, that's where it is?
Yeah.
That's where my
sister
works.
It's right across the street from Circa.
Yeah, that's like the main drag.
It's the main drag.
Coming down
here.
Yeah,
but it's what
is that? Is that M Street?
M Street shut down.
It's dicier than it looks.
It's First Street.
My sister worked
First
there.
Street. Okay.
It's the one that runs this way. Yeah. One of the apartments.
Yeah. That comes this way, right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've got blocks cordoned off.
Best money I've ever spent is not walking that Baghdad mile that you guys walk every morning and parking underneath this building.
Yeah.
Like it's.
Well, I mean, I was kind of interested.
I'm happy to stroke that check.
Yeah.
Because it's just peace of mind.
Yeah.
I scan that card.
You're not going to get clipped by anything stray.
I scan that card and then I drive down the ramp and it's parking nirvana. Now I'm paying for it, but. There's something to paying for what's called peace of mind.
I'm with you, Cakes.
It's good to have peace of mind.
I'm with
especially
you.
Especially when you're mega tilted by your daily commute, which I am at this point.
Yeah. Most people probably
luckily
are.
Luckily, I'm off for a bit after these next couple days, so I won't have to commute for a while. But, man, it is driving me up the wall.
We'll try and find out some more information.
So are you off tomorrow?
No, I'm off starting next week.
Oh, sorry, next week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
next week.
Gotcha. All right, so when we come back, we'll
it's you and me next week, bro. Two-man
just
show,
man. Okay.
We've got the Christmas party show on, or not Christmas party show, the Christmas show on Friday.
That's right. At MGM National Harbor. Hope people can come out to join us. That is Friday.
That's if we survive
December
the monumental
20th.
Show on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's the Altcast, which is coming up in just a few days.
Right.
As we cover, semi-cover Caps Sabres on Monumental Sports Network.
Yeah. I'm just gonna let Cakes do most of the talking because he's the biggest Caps guy.
I'm hoping you have 9 questions ready for one of our guests that's zooming in.
Right. Well, we're going to have Rod Langway.
We're going to have Rod Langway.
We can do easy.
Sitting right there next to
Correct.
Us.
PK Subban. I don't know. Subban.
PK Subban, yeah.
I don't have that much
He's a good
him.
Dude. He's a good guy.
I've seen him a million times on TV, but I'll let you handle that one.
All right. Coming up on the show, we've got Brian Baldinger joining us at 7:20. He's Odyssey's NFL insider. We'll talk Commanders, Saints, and more with him. At 8, Dave Richard will join us. Week 15 of the NFL season is here, and more importantly,
playoffs.
Fantasy football playoffs are upon us. So he will help answer your questions for all of your lineup decisions that
Got a
you
big
surely
game tonight.
Have. And in studio, our friend from Monumental Sports, Jim Van Stone, he's going to join us. He'll get us up to speed on the latest at Capital One Arena as far as the renovations and the plans going forward.
What about the Doubters? The Doubter on today?
Is Dowd on? Yes, I skipped him. Yeah. Nick Dowd at 8:25.
Yeah, there you go.
So you got a guest-laden show, and when we come back, we'll talk about Bill Belichick heading to the college ranks to take over at UNC. We'll be right back.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
As leverage or a publicity stunt, it doesn't appear that that's the case. As Bill Belichick is headed to Chapel Hill, he's going to take over the North Carolina football program, signs a 5-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
His father served. His father was an assistant coach there back in the 50s. So there's a tie. There's a tie in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Bill Belichick.
But he's never coached at the collegiate level.
Never.
No, but he's still a great coach.
Oh,
but
of course.
It's a matter of,
I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think it was a good fit.
I don't think anybody thought it was.
Clearly wrong. Carolina has been desperate for years. They've got 8 conference championships since 1888. Mm-hmm. The last one was when Lawrence Taylor was there.
Man, that goes back a ways.
We were 10 years old last time North Carolina won a conference championship.
But you know what I'm excited about?
And they said, F it. You know what? We've tried all these other.
It's a good splashy hire for them. Like it's a jolt for a program that's, it's kind of, let's be honest, they're kind of a middling program in the ACC.
100%.
I mean, they're not Clemson. They're not Florida State when they were at their heights, obviously.
And that's where they want to get to.
Right.
And they've got great facilities. They just built a $50 million practice facility. It's a great campus. Great campus. It's got a stadium right there in the middle of campus, Keenan Stadium. And when I toured that campus a few years ago, it was just awesome.
There's a Sup Dogs there. Our guy Brett may be hosting Bill Belichick before we know it.
I've been there a few times. I didn't fall in love with the campus like I thought I would.
I've only been there once. I mean, when I was there, it looked pretty beautiful, the parts that I saw. Now, I didn't see the whole campus.
When I went, it wasn't mowed that well. I was a little bit surprised.
Okay. You thought it was a little rundown looking?
I mean,
I just love campuses where the stadium is right in the middle of it.
Kind of like, you know what? You love Maryland.
That's why I didn't like NC State.
Stadium's right in the middle of campus.
NC State's campus is okay.
Yeah.
But Carter Finley is, you got to take a bus to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these campuses.
You go to the gym.
Some of the campuses have their stadiums off campus.
You have an affinity for the ones where the football stadiums on the campus.
I think Chapel Hill.
I can see that.
But here's what I like about it. First of all, I love that everyone didn't think he would do it, myself included. And I love that the North Carolina insider called in and he said, "Trust me, that they have no interest in him."
I'm sure he's an insider.
Because he read a few message boards.
Right. 2 days later, he's got a $50 million deal.
Hey, where are you at, North Carolina? Call in. Whatever that dude's name was.
Yeah.
That guy's got to be distraught.
Call in and say, you know what? I know nothing.
I've forgotten. Was he anti-Belichick going
there? Yeah, he just wanted a young guy. He was like, we're going to get a young guy. Okay. We're not going to get another old guy after we just got rid of 73-year-old
Mack
Brown. Somebody
did point out, did make me laugh. They did go younger. They went
1 year younger.
73-year-old Mack Brown to 72-year-old Bill Belichick.
But I actually love it for him because it shows that we can't just, I love when guys go against the narratives. And the narrative is, well, he has to break the record. Of course he wouldn't want to break the record. He don't want to do that. He's like, you know what? When I read something, I think it was the day before yesterday, it made me think this was plausible because the guy said he doesn't give a crap about that record. Mm. He just likes to coach.
Right. But maybe he also surveyed the landscape.
I'm sure that's part of it.
And realized, you know what, there really is not an opportunity for me at the NFL.
I mean, there's got to be 7 or 8 jobs, but maybe it wasn't going to be a fit that he liked.
Right.
And he brings along his buddy, Mike Lombardi, who's been a guest on this show many times, to be the GM.
Yeah.
I know.
Well,
great.
See, that's the thing. I mean, college football's changed so much in the last 5 years that it's kind of like running a minor league NFL franchise.
Well, it's also for Belichick, he just tells Lombardi, look, you deal with getting all the NIL.
Right.
You do all that. I'm here to coach and maybe close on the big recruits. Like I'll fly in for that. But I just don't see him out on the road like recruiting every week. Like he's going to have an army of people.
Not every week.
Doing that.
No. But he's going to have to be out there.
He's going to have to close the big guy.
He's like going to have to be out there more than you think, Cakes.
Now, a lot of it's portal. Yeah.
Right.
But convincing guys to come in and getting them paid and convincing your own guys to stay. And I'm wondering how many of the players who entered the portal at Carolina will reconsider that and remove their names. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what he does in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I doubt it'll work. Who knows? It's hard, right?
Yeah.
But I'm interested in it, and I'll actually kind of be rooting for him.
Yeah.
The joke everybody was doing online was that now he gets to hang out with all these young hotties.
Yeah, that was definitely a bit. So,
why not go to college? He's into young chicks.
So many people are using the gif of him with the binoculars where he's sitting in the stands. It's like, he's scanning sorority row. Here's Belichick at
UNC.
That's
so great.
what's interesting about the staff is that it's going to revolutionize what every other team. They're all going to copy him. He has an entire staff. It's not just Lombardi. He's got a whole non-coaching staff that will be involved in recruiting and building that roster.
Yeah.
And then he's got his coaches that will just coach the players that come in.
Yeah, it's like a pro team. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was making the pitch, right, when he was on McAfee, and he said it'll be a pro program, just that not at the pro level.
Yeah.
And if you're a guy that wants to play in the league, you want to be exposed to that kind of situation. Why not?
Carolina is obviously a basketball school, but they've got so much money.
Of course.
And they've got these great facilities. They can become more of a football school, but you have to get the players there, and you got to keep the players. Got to win conference championships. They've been to 38 bowl games in school history, and they've lost 23 of them. And they've lost 11 of the last 14. And we already talked about the ACC championship, and they haven't been there, haven't won a conference championship since 1980. They just want to remove that, and they want to become more of a football school. And they've had some pretty damn good players.
Yeah.
I think it's possible
something could happen. You could revitalize the program a little bit. To what extent? I don't know. But
could they turn into an SMU? I mean, think about it. The college football playoff goes from 4 to 12. And who knows? It could go to 16 in a couple years. You know, they could expand it, open up more spots for more schools. So, you know, that's always a possibility. But it's a big name, man. It's a big, big name.
And he breathes life into, I wouldn't say it's a dead program, but kind of a flailing, flailing program.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, this team allowed like 50 at halftime to James Madison this year.
They lost.
Like,
they lost 70 to 50.
Yeah, I mean, that's you need when that happens. You need some sort of big like paradigm shift higher, and this is clearly it for them.
Now, I will say that oftentimes these guys, these legends that kind of run their last legs, and they do these, the last stint ain't pretty, like Mac Brown.
Yep.
But I'm actually rooting for the guy, and I have no affinity for him either way. No reason to like him, no reason to dislike him. I'm actually rooting for him.
It's interesting.
Just because it's different. I like
it's,
different.
It's very different.
Yeah.
And I have no idea. I mean, it's going to be very difficult for him to, I mean, unless the money's there, keeping these players, but it's going to be very difficult for him to compete with some of the upper echelon of the conference. And then not even to mention the Big Ten and the SEC. But if they expand the college football playoff, who knows?
How are the alums like reacting? What's the initial North Carolina reaction? Are people like bitching, or are they excited because they've got a future Hall of Famer?
Haven't even seen any reaction.
Drab, you're usually all on over that. Like, what are they?
I don't know.
I'm curious. Are they like the guy that called in and?
I told you not to listen to that guy. You guys were all like, oh, wow, this guy's he's got an insider.
Wow, he's plugged in, this guy.
I'm not listening to some random caller who thinks he knows everything.
What does he have, the UNC Board of Regents all of a sudden? We don't know about it.
And immediately I said, good point. But it was interesting to hear his perspective.
He couldn't have been more
wrong. But it was interesting to hear his perspective. He was a guy from North Carolina.
Maybe there are a lot of fans who feel that way. But
yeah, exactly.
Just that the AD and the president didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
Regurgitated a message board.
Believe me, when somebody says I'm an insider, they're probably not an insider. You know.
Well, Mac Brown was there for 6 years.
But I assume he knew something about that.
And went 113-79. He went to a bowl game every year, but, you know, they went to the Orange Bowl in 2020, but he never had double-digit wins.
Somebody said somewhere, and I believe it, that they the people around, you know, think it is kind of a sleeping giant. Like, if there is a program that could be a spot where if stars align, you get the right people involved, you could win there. Because you have the facilities, you have the money,
so much
the location. Yeah.
How much talent in North Carolina?
There's really, you know, there's a reason why you can't build a program there.
Yeah.
But
it's just hard. It's hard to do.
I doubt he'll be able to pull it off, but maybe he will.
Because then there's possible conference realignment. And if a conference like the SEC or the Big Ten wants to, you know, poach some ACC schools, North Carolina's going to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Florida State or Clemson, but Carolina would be one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a possibility of that, too. It's just it's an interesting move. 5 years, $50 million. He's making more per year than Ryan Day at Ohio State. He's making more than Brian Kelly down at LSU.
Well, I mean, he has the reputation, and obviously the Super Bowl wins.
Correct. But
going and demand that kind of salary.
But my point is there aren't that many schools that will pay that much money
per
year.
This is one of them. He found one that's willing to do it.
Well, that just shows you how much money they got.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. Go! All of a sudden, I'm rooting for Bill Belichick. It's never happened in my life, Cakes.
Are you?
I'm actually rooting for him.
Are you salty that Virginia Tech doesn't have them on the schedule next year, Jason? You could have gone to Lane Stadium, see Bill Belichick.
I doubt I'd go to any games next year. I mean, Virginia Tech's got their entire offensive line entered the portal. The portal is a poop show. I mean, it doesn't look good.
I mean, UNC isn't playing Virginia Tech, but they are playing at Cal next year. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense.
Well, they're in the conference.
I know. I know the ACC now is coast to coast, not just the Atlantic coast.
I'm rooting for Belichick just because it's a good story.
Right.
But I have my doubts as a Sun Devil because about 10 years ago, whatever it was, Herm Edwards came and had the same thing. I'm going to be the CEO of the program.
Yeah.
And he ran it into the ground. We had a billion recruiting violations.
Chased off Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, it was an unmitigated disaster.
Right.
And I'm sure that's what, you know, these people are worried about in Chapel Hill.
Right.
That this is, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on him, but I'm not 100%. I wouldn't 100% bet against him. I definitely wouldn't bet on him either. But I am rooting
for
him.
It's just so tough. I mean, at that age, doing something you've never done before to a degree and trying to build a program.
Yeah. And there's
a lot of help. He didn't probably know any NCAA rules, especially the new ones.
There's so much uncertainty,
you know,
surrounding college football. There really is.
But I like the fact that he doesn't care.
It's a good story
about records, and he's just a coach. That's how I think of a lot of guys. I think a lot of guys that I know that are just coaches. They'll coach any level. I'm always surprised, to be honest with you, and you could say I'm some sort of like sexist weirdo, but I'm always surprised when a guy will go from coaching men to coaching women.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they're just coaches.
That's what they want to do, man.
So they just like to coach. So you shouldn't be surprised.
Well, we'll see if it works out. 5 years, $50 million
for Bill
Belichick. Do you
think Bill Belichick's going to attend the 2024 Wasabi Fenway Bowl between UConn and North Carolina? Man, that's a bad bowl game. Mm. But hey,
that's what you get when you go 6-6.
You can tout that you made a bowl. Now it's the Wasabi Fenway Bowl, but you made it.
You're going
Congrats.
To Fenway Park.
I guess Mike Locklear would be happy to be in the Fenway Bowl
right
this year.
Of course he would.
Hey. He would take it.
Well, look, Bill Belichick lived in the Massachusetts forever.
Right.
Probably went to a million Red Sox games.
I'm sure he did.
Probably knows how to get there.
All right, let's go to Tyler.
It is an open line Thursday.
Real quick. Tyler, what's up? You're on with the Jocks.
Hey boys, how you doing this morning?
What's up,
Great.
Tyler?
What's up?
Happy holidays.
You too, man.
Listen,
I wanted
to ask, is it possible that Maryland could have botched it by not being forward thinkers? I mean, Belichick lives in the area, lives over in Annapolis, likes the area. You've got fertile recruiting grounds. You've got the backing of Plank and some of the donors, even though they've spent a lot of money recently. But, I mean, this could be something. College football is based on having control of the program, and that's what Belichick has loved doing. So you can argue that this is going to work out perfectly for how he functions and how college football needs to function in order for programs to be successful.
I don't think Maryland would be into paying Mike Locksley to go away and then also paying Bill Belichick $10 million a year.
Yeah,
I just don't know if that's in their budget.
Yeah, that's...
Like that's a big.
I don't know
ask.
What Locksley's payoff is, but it's a pretty hefty number.
He's making north of $6 million.
And I think
point.
He just renewed.
He just signed an extension recently. Yeah.
So Tyler, I mean, obviously Maryland has money, but it doesn't mean that they're willing to have a blank checkbook and just pay off
aside.
Locksley and pay $10 million a year, and then we have no idea if Belichick was even interested in Maryland.
Right. He might want, like, also the fact that it's a little more south. A little closer, you know, to maybe some beaches. I mean, it's not necessarily that close, but I don't know. If they did hire Belichick, you're a Maryland guy now. Would you be excited?
I mean, not the biggest Belichick guy, but
I know,
and I like Locksley. I mean, I'd be torn.
Yeah,
I'd be torn. Honestly. All right, when we come back, we'll
yeah,
get
but
into
you'd
Commanders.
Like anybody to win more than four games.
That part is true.
Yeah,
that's a
that's
good
what
point.
You'd want.
When we come back, we'll get into the loss of Noah Brown for the Washington Commanders. How big of a loss is that for the team going forward? We'll discuss that next on The Fan. Open Line Thursday brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors, perhaps? Search WindowNation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home. because it's where you live. We'll hit the Skins coming up at 7. We'll also talk Commanders right now. So coming out of the bye week, you hope that everybody's rested, refreshed, time to get healthy, recharge the batteries. That's not going to be the case for Noah Brown. Mm-hmm. He suffered a significant internal injury. Here's head coach Dan Quinn talking about Noah Brown and what we can expect from him over the last month of the season.
Tough news on Noah. He's going to be out for a while. And so Brown. So he had a significant internal injury from the game. And so that's going to knock him out for a while. And we love him. And this play style, the identity of how he goes. And so that one hurts. He's been absolutely one of our glue guys. And after the game or during the game, between him and the medical staff, they did a really good job to address what was a serious injury. And, you know, fortunately, he's going to be okay, but it's going to knock him out for a bit.
Say for a bit, is this season ending for him?
Yeah, we'll visit that later this week, but it's likely, you know, heading that way.
It sucks. I guess reportedly it's a lacerated kidney, which is a kind of injury that we've heard before.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously you want to take care of that, get that addressed, but it shouldn't be. And I think he said he'll be fine, but, you know, it's going to take some time.
Of course.
And then from on the field perspective, I know Cakes is not a huge fan of him. Like, he thinks he's fine. I do think it's a little bit of a loss because he was our number two guy.
Sure.
And for us, he had like 56 targets. Obviously made some big plays. He wasn't a big touchdown guy. In fact, I think the only touchdown he might have had, I think,
that was the only touchdown
in the Bears game. Mm-hmm. But
the Hail Mary.
I like him. He's a big guy. He's kind of a threat we don't have.
Like Coach Quinn said,
first downs.
He's a quintessential glue guy.
Yeah.
And like he's been functioning as the number two, but I feel like as Peters and Quinn build the roster, they'll eventually have a better number two wide receiver than Noah Brown. Like, that's just the way things are going to operate. But he's been a good find for them. I mean, and this definitely hurts.
21 first downs.
35. He'll give you like 3+ catches per game. Like, yeah. He's good for like 3 to 4 catches a game.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a high impact player, but it's depth.
It's depth. And also in the system they run, as run heavy as they are, that you don't really expect much more out of him than that with the volume that Terry McLaurin is seeing.
I think also, I mean, again, he's a big guy. He's 6'2", 225. They have, what, Bryson Tremaine. Isn't he also supposed to be a big guy, too, I think, possibly, like on the practice squad? You could check him out. I think he's a bigger guy. But I think he's also, like, a willing blocker. And does he play special teams? I think he plays specialty. I could be wrong, but I feel like he's one of those guys.
Kind of a freak injury. He dove for a ball in that Titans game, and he thought it was a rib injury, or the team thought it was a rib injury until they did, you know, the internals and figured out, you know, this is a lacerated kidney, and that's obviously very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Everything so. I am, you owe me with my liver and my kidneys.
I mean, there's no way I'm not playing that when you say lacerated kidney. I like what Noah Brown has given to the team, especially as like a late training camp add. And in the short term, I think it's definitely going to impact the passing game a little bit. But this is just an opportunity now, even though he's not the same skill set guy. Maybe Deion Brown gets a few more catches. Zach Ertz gets a few more targets. And
you have to lean on guys.
And KJ Osborne gets signed.
Yeah.
Like that's another guy that you just kind of plucked off the waiver wire that I guess wasn't a fit in New England, or it was just a numbers crunch with a young quarterback, and he just kind of
whatever happens, they just have to figure out a way to score points and beat these bad teams on their schedule.
Right.
To get to that 10-win mark at minimum to get to the playoffs. And then once you get to the playoffs, I think it's all gravy. You're gonna be playing, you know, really good teams who will probably game plan against Terry McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
So Jaden will have to go to other guys. But just getting in the playoffs is a huge win.
You know what? And also, more opportunity for Luke McCaffrey. Sure. He's not as big as Noah Brown, but he's 6'2", like 200 pounds.
He might play a bigger role, yeah.
He should get elevated to more looks over the last month. And if you're the coaching staff, I want to see what a young wideout can do when he's given a little more opportunity.
Yeah.
So I would expect a little more of him in this next month as well.
I'm just watching because I'm not familiar with KJ Osborne, but you look at his numbers. The guy caught, I think, did I read that right this morning? He caught 60 balls the first 2 years.
In his last 3 years in Minnesota, he caught 158 passes, and this is the number that jumps out at you, 15 tutties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he have an injury, and that's why he...
He only had seven catches at New England. I don't know what was going on
there. Yeah, I
wonder
if he had an injury, and that's why he was... I don't know if he was just cut by the Vikings or... was he just a free agent and signed with the Patriots? Got to do some investigating on that.
And why did he have no impact with the Patriots? I mean, Cakes is saying he's probably right during a break we were talking about. You know, they do have quarterback issues.
Well, yeah.
Well, they're developing a young quarterback, and they also have a pretty young wideout room. I think they're just trying to figure out who are our guys going forward that we're going to keep around Drake May in years 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
And KJ Osborne just might not be in those plans. Didn't seem to be in the plans from the usage.
I actually think it's a great signing, and we're fortunate that he was available. I think he was just cut like on Monday, right?
Right.
You know, it's a great signing relative to what's available.
Yeah.
And he's not old. He's 27 years old.
Oh, he's young, yeah.
Yeah. So he's only 5'11". He's not 6'2".
I wish I'd seen a headline that they signed a new kicker, but I haven't seen that headline
yet. Yeah, I'm going to get my $2.
I mean...
How about this?
Well, didn't they
even bring in any guys
like the Vikings,
for a workout.
When the Vikings released, I think the guy's name was John Parker Romo.
Yeah,
I
Romo.
Could be wrong.
Romo.
He got released.
Don't think he's related.
Will Reichard came back and he was healthy. I was like, oh, maybe the Commanders are going to kick the tires on Romo. Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
I think the idea is that, you know, to be fair, you give a guy more than game to screw up.
They're going
to
let Gonzalez try to kick his way through it.
Yeah. And if he screws up this week,
he's
got a bye
week. He's kicking indoors, 72 degrees, no wind.
Yeah.
It's actually a perfect
setup. Now, if he goes 3 of 4, makes all his extra points, say misses a 47-yarder, are you cutting him?
If it's a big one?
I'm asking you, Cakes.
I mean, is it a game-losing miss? I might.
It's in a win.
Look, if he goes in and misses nothing but 54 yarders and is good from 40 and in, hits all of his extra points, I probably keep him for another week.
47 yarder. He misses a 47
yarder. He misses a 47 yarder.
But he makes the other three
if
and he makes all his extra points.
Misses a 47 yarder, I'm going to have my eyeballs on him. Because again, like, you can't make a 47 yarder in perfect conditions.
Yeah. Well, there's the other
fans.
Most kickers can.
Look, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters were not worried about it because they didn't bring anybody in for a
understood.
Tryout.
And they see him every day kicking balls.
Every day. They said, he's our guy. Now,
still holding out hope that I'm going to see that across the ticker over the next 2 days.
You won't.
It doesn't seem likely that's going to happen.
I mean, unless he gets injured, you're not going to see it.
Yep, it's looking kind of dicey. All right, coming up later in the show, Brian Baldinger will join us. That's coming up at 7:20. And for all of you fantasy nerds out there, we know there are tons of you. Dave Richard, he'll join us at 8. He'll give you all of your Week 15 fantasy football lineup decisions that you need to make before Rams and 49ers kick off tonight. We'll be right back.